Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They set up. Inside 5 seconds on the play clock, they'll take a knee. RG3 kneels down. It is over. The Texans lose big at Baltimore, 41-7, and are faced with a very quick turnaround for a crucial battle with the Colts on Thursday night.
Crucial and already getting breaks. Marlon Mack not going to play. He has a fractured hand. T.Y. Hilton might not play either. Already had Andrew Luck retire before the end of the season. Texans not among the elite in the AFC, but AFC South keeps being very, very kind to the Texans, specifically head coach Bill O'Brien.
It does get very, very much easier and almost inexcusable. I get the Colts are good, so I'm not going to say completely inexcusable, but just about inexcusable if you can't beat them at home in these circumstances, okay? And it got me to thinking, watching this game, you know, all last week, we were calling this game variations of a statement game, variations of, putting a stake in the ground that you know, you belong with the elite teams in the NFL. I bought in. I think you bought in a little bit that how big it was. It was the game of the day in the NFL. It was Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, two rising stars, hyped up, big stakes, postseason seeding on the line, and then you just flopped. You know, if there's such a thing as a statement win for the Ravens, there is a statement loss for Bill O'Brien. So it got me to thinking, and I was sitting at home and just piddling around on the computer. The second half of the season is when you make your money. I mean, we've had player after player after player say, you don't really, you know, put your, you know, you don't really understand that you're a contender. You don't really prove that you're a contender until you go down to the home stretch, right? Once it gets cold, November, December, that's when you make your money. That's when you prove to the NFL that you belong among the elite. So I started digging around. Can I interest you in a stat?
Always.
So the last eight games of the season, the second halves of the season under Bill O'Brien, the Texans in games against teams that finish with winning records, in other words, just 9-7 or better, in games against teams that have won, finished with winning records in those years, Bill O'Brien is 4-15 in the second half of the season. 4-16 if you count the Ravens, which they're going to finish at least 9, 10, 11 wins, but they only have 8 right now. So 4-16 in the second half of the season. What is that statement then? When you go to the second half, when that's when you make your money, that's when you kind of come together as a team and galvanize, if you will, and become a contender and prove that you belong and finish the job and get that playoff seeding and get that bye and get into the AFC Championship game conversation. That's what happens in the second half of the season. So what is the statement when you go 4-16 in the second halves of seasons under Bill O'Brien?
The statement is the reason that he's
against teams with winning records.
The statement is that the reason that he's able to tread water is because of the division he's in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the statement to me. To me, that the AFC South will always be kind to Bill O'Brien. I think it's really telling. I really, really do think it's, I don't want to say it's like there's some sort of larger meaning coming down on us or something like that, but I think it's extremely telling that 4 days after Bill O'Brien and the Texans wet the bed like they have on the big stage time after time with him on a Sunday, in which you had 2 weeks to prepare, that you can basically sweep that to the side if you want to, because 4 days from now, you're going to face a Colts team that is shorthanded as that you can possibly think without their running back and without T.Y. Hilton and with Andrew Luck retiring, and that's the way that you get back on track. I think it's extremely symbolic that Bill O'Brien can now focus on a Colts team that you should beat. There's no excuse not to beat the Colts. I think it's symbolic.
It is symbolic. And that's why this game's so huge coming up on Thursday, and it should absolutely be a win. You know, they blew this chance. it's the second half of the season, and it's the Colts. You know, you still can, and I know you and I agree on the validity of a division title and just making the playoffs wild card.
But, I don't care.
But nevertheless,
I don't care about
if you're going to get there, you still have to win this game. All right, so let's go back in time a little bit.
Let's go back.
2014, the Texans ended up finishing 9-7. They in the second half of the season, they faced four teams that ultimately would have winning records in 2014. The Eagles, they lost. The Bengals, they lost. The Colts, they lost. And the Ravens, they won. The Ravens was when they actually made that was a good win on the road. You got to give them credit. They got to 8-7. They ended up 9-7 that year. All right, so let's go to 2015. They got to the second half of the season. The Texans, as you recall, in 2015 wound up finishing 9-7, and that was Bill O'Brien's first playoff berth, I believe. All right, so they get
that go.
So they go to the second half of the season.
Oh, really? How'd that go?
Not well. Not well at all. That was 30-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you get to nut-cutting time, right? You go and you face the Patriots with a chance to get to 7-6 and really put a stake in the ground. You get beat 27-6. So then you're kind of moving along, and you end up getting – that's probably your only loss in that half, but you go 9-7 and lose to the Chiefs in the postseason. Okay. So then let's go to 2016, shall we? So you go to the second half of the year, you get there, and you're 6-3 going into the second half of the year. You face the Cincinnati Bengals on the road, and you won that one. You face the Jets on the road, who ended up with a 9-7 record, and you won that one. You lost to the Raiders and the Packers in 2016 on the road. That 2017, that was just a horrible year. We wouldn't even have to talk about it that much. They lost to the Rams, Ravens.
Record-setting amount of injuries.
Titans, Jaguars, and Steelers. You lost to five, but you pretty much lost to everybody that year. So then last year, let's go to 2018, right? So you get to the second half of the year, and you have a chance at 9-3, you're going into face the Colts, you lose. Then a couple of weeks later, you have a chance to do what you're doing right now and maybe get a bye, maybe get some playoff positioning.
We going to Philly?
You're going into Philadelphia, and you lose. You do beat the Titans in the second half of the year. So then you go to this year, same situation. You have a chance to really make some hay, put a stake in the ground. Let's prove to people that we can get a bye, we can get in the conversation for AFC Championship. You go in to face the Ravens and you lose 41-7. 4-15 in the second halves of seasons against teams that ultimately finish with winning records. That's inexcusable after 6 years.
And the other thing is this. If the Texans had lost yesterday in a shootout, or if the Texans had lost, a heartbreaking game, I'm not going to come here and talk about right. The sky is falling.
Right.
But there's no excuse for a no-show. Mm-hmm. That was a no-show yesterday. And the offense, receivers are running routes in the same area and stuff like that. The way that you lose does matter. We can talk week-to-week league and all that type of stuff. They didn't even belong on the same field with the Ravens yesterday.
No.
They didn't even belong in the same island as the Ravens yesterday. And there's nothing that you can tell me that's going to make me feel better about the fact that they could go beat the Colts on Thursday and I'm supposed to all of a sudden be happy that the Texans are competing for an AFC South title. You know what? Whenever one team loses their quarterback in week one and has to start a sixth-round pick for 10 weeks, and then another team has to bench their quarterback and bring in a guy who just came off a failed stint in Miami, and then the other team doesn't even have a quarterback, and you have Deshaun Watson, you should win the division, okay? Okay, and I say it doesn't have a quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, but the best quarterback in the league retires before the week.
Right.
You should win the division, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that should happen.
Absolutely.
That's not supposed to make me feel better.
It's like playing in a bad conference, and a real good team in a bad conference in college football. You should win. You should win there. It's about what kind of contender are you? What is it, Central Florida, I guess? It's one of those teams, something like that. Second half of the year is where you make your money. And Bill O'Brien has not made money for this city, for this organization.
Yeah, and I mean, I just don't know what the next step is. But it's going to be, we'll look ahead to this Colts game. I think the Texans should win this game. I don't think it should really be a problem. I don't know that there's any excuse to lose it, but it's a short week, and luckily for the Texans, they're back to their comfort zone, the AFC South. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Easy. Easy, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
You're on.
Yeah.
All right.
Landry?
Go ahead. You're on.
Hey, Landry, I'm with you 100%, man, completely. You know, Lopez has answered his own questions right there, what he was talking about, going through the whole schedule when we won 9-7. Bill O'Brien needs to go already. It's if we don't get rid of him, it's going to keep going over and over, and what's that? It's insane, man.
Yeah, definition of insanity. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, what's the next step? What's the next step?
Well,
this Patriots. Is the same damn thing that we've seen the last 5 years, John. You got the best quarterback situation in the division.
Mm-hmm.
You put all these resources into offense, and it's the same damn thing. And, oh, by the way, the other teams in the division that are basically a game away from you, or two in the case of Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
they have draft picks for the next couple years. The Colts have like 9 picks in the next draft. So it's the same damn thing. How long are you going to sit here and tread water with the same damn thing? The Colts did it with Chuck Pagano. How'd that work out?
They have to. You answer what's the answer. They have to be like 100% better. They have to become something that they haven't proved that with those numbers that I just shared overnight. They have to beat the Colts and then beat the Patriots. I think we'll all be singing a different tune, and those numbers will look a lot better of what I just said. If you can beat the Colts on Thursday night, get the extra time to prepare for the Patriots and beat the Patriots here, then all of a sudden we're okay. Feeling, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Don't give me that if.
No. Look, I'm a.
They
I'm
don't
a,
deserve any optimism heading into that Patriots game. I'm of the opinion,
and that's why I looked this up. I'm of the opinion that Bill O'Brien has proved that he can't get it done in crunch time.
Those are just facts.
Those are just facts. All right. I mean, the numbers are right there. But what I'm saying is you pose the question, so that's the answer. But then you have to ask yourself, can they do that in those two games, win them both?
713-572-4610. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Frank.
Man. All right. Y'all got to be better. T, you're on In the Loop. Yeah. Go ahead.
Man, just like you said, man, there's certain teams that you put a check mark next to at the beginning of the season and you put a circle around. You circle when you play against the Patriots. You circle the Ravens. You circle the Chiefs. But when teams see teams like Houston, Cincinnati, Miami, you put a check mark.
Man.
And that's what we are, a damn check mark.
Man, that's check harsh. Mark.
Damn.
That's harsh.
I can't argue with him. I mean, seriously, they were clowning you yesterday.
Yeah.
You had 2 weeks to prepare. Bill O'Brien at every opportunity was bragging about how much he was preparing for this.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, man. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this, and you lost 41-7. Like I'm not sitting here trying to act like the sky's falling after every loss. But the way in which you lose sometimes, and the way in which things just remain the same no matter how much they change, it should disgust anyone that's a Texans fan. And honestly, the people at NRG should be just as ashamed, because they're the ones who told us that it was about going from good to great. They're the ones who fired a GM that went 11-5 in his first season. They're the ones that threw all their chips on the table and made all these moves.
Mm-hmm.
And in a game in which you had the opportunity to win the game, get in the driver's seat, have the 2 seed, and most importantly, show myself and everybody in Houston that dedicates all the time that they do to watching this team play football, you had an opportunity to show me something new.
Mm-hmm.
You failed. And not only did you failed miserably. They would have been better off getting ready for Indianapolis and not even showing up to Baltimore yesterday.
Well,
they would have been better off, because you know what? Then Lonnie Johnson wouldn't have got hurt. Justin Reed wouldn't have hurt his shoulder, and you'd probably be more healthy. That they wasted everyone's time yesterday, and they wasted a lot of people's optimism.
Right.
And all the buildup, the 2 week buildup, was a total waste of time.
And you know, we really
for the same damn thing.
I totally agree, but we really haven't even talked about the nuts and bolts of that game in terms of what happened, because. You know, I just said, yeah, if you can all of a sudden, you know, morph yourself into an elite team overnight and beat the Colts and the Patriots, well, can you? When you look at some of the elements that we saw on display yesterday, offensive line, defensive line, and other things.
Let's get into those elements. There's a lot of small things that deserve a lot of attention as well. It's not as simple as you lost 41-7. There's a lot of things and a lot of cause for concern moving forward. The OG is going to lay those out next. 41-7 loss yesterday. Texans, not much time to dwell on the L, the humbling L in Baltimore. On to the Colts, who come to town on Thursday. No T.Y. Hilton, likely. No Marlon Mack, definitely. He fractured his hand yesterday. No Andrew Luck, who retired before the start of the season. Things are shaped up perfectly for the Texans to go back into their comfort zone beneath the elite of the AFC, but right there, slightly above the kiddie pool known as the AFC South. The OG John Lopez has some takeaways from yesterday's game, some small things that could be a big deal moving forward, if you will. Lay it out on the loopholes, OG.
Yeah, let's talk about the game itself and why, if you're going to reach that next level, as you just mentioned, in these next two games and turn those frowns upside down from yesterday, there are certain things that you have to do. First of all, the secondary is a mess right now health-wise. So there's not a whole lot you can control with that in terms of just getting better or whatever, other than getting healthier. But what about Kyahmi Fairbairn? All right. Here's my point on this. You're not an elite team. We know that now, right? Which means you're going to have to scrap and scrape just to get to the postseason. And on the chance that you do, you're not going to be in any control of any games late. First of all, playoff games are close. Playoff games inherently are close. And for a team like the Texans that are not at the elite level and proved so yesterday, it's going to come down to a kick. Big games are going to have to come. Hell, the Colts game might come down to a kick, you know? What are you going to do with Kyahmi Fairbairn? You've been saying all along, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I don't know who's out there, but you're saying it's better than what's on the street.
Yes.
You can't trust him.
He's better than anything you're going to get.
But
you got to roll with him.
Is the lack of trust better than someone else you could bring in?
Yes. Look at the New England Patriots. Their kicker goes on IR. They've already had two new kickers. It's just the way it works. You saw the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Their kicker goes down, and he misses. They bring in somebody, and he looks like he's good. He makes his first three field goals, and he misses the one to win the game. It's just how it is right now. Kickers are a damn mess in the NFL. You got to just roll with Fairbairn.
But here's the problem I have with that. If the Texans line up for a 44-yard field goal against the Colts to tie or win on Thursday night, I'm going to be expecting a miss.
How are the Colts feeling about Adam Vinatieri?
I understand that. I don't care. I could give two bleeps about Vinatieri.
I'm just saying it's a reflection of the entire league.
No, it is.
There are issues on the Texans, but I think kicking is just a reflection of the entire league and the state of the position.
But if you're going to be in this position to try to win these close games, which you're going to do, as I just mentioned, because
do you want to cut him?
You've got to beat the bushes, man. Maybe there's someone out there that will impress. I don't know. But I'm saying that maybe there's someone out there you can bring in tomorrow, Tuesday. Well, no, because it's a short week. But anyway, bring in and find out. Because I fully expect a key field goal from beyond 40 yards to be a miss at this point. If it's clutch, if it's pressure packed. That's an issue, man. You're not gonna win the games that you're gonna play like that.
There's a lot of things I'm worried about with the Texans. Fairbairn's not even in the top five.
Oh, he's easily in the top five.
He's not in my top five.
Well, let's move on then. All right. Laremy Tunsil.
I knew you were gonna do this.
Why not? Why would I not do this?
I just knew this was coming. Every time he gets a penalty now, I think of you.
You know why? Because he leads the NFL in penalties. Number one. There are 2,000-something players in the NFL. None have more penalties than Laremy Tunsil. Zero. That's an issue. Now, that's something that's just got to be fixed. You're not going to bench Laremy Tunsil. He's an asset on the offensive line. I understand he's been asked about it, and he said he's just trying to get a jump. You know, he's just trying to get ahead on the pass rush. I get all that. Fix it. You can't lead the NFL when you play on a team that's not elite, when you play on a team that's going to play close games, when you play on a team that hadn't even guaranteed a playoff berth, you can't kill a drive with a false start.
So how do they solve this problem?
This has got to be, I don't know if it's you know, live drills, get guys, you know, kind of moving. It's just got to fix. I mean, you just got to fix it. You know, you can't afford to give away drives because your left tackle is jumping more than anybody in the NFL.
There was a moment yesterday where the Texans called the timeout on 3rd and 1. Mm-hmm. And then they came out and they were rushing to get the snap off and they had an illegal procedure.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Whose fault is that? That's got to be coaching, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, are you just making – did Bill O'Brien – honestly, I'm asking this in 100% seriousness. Did Bill O'Brien just have too much time to try to think with this 2 weeks coming into this game?
I mean, sometimes that happens.
Like, did Bill O'Brien just have too much time to try to put together some sort of masterful game plan? Because on Friday he was bragging about how much time he spent, you know – on the game the day before, mm-hmm. to the point where he didn't even really know about the Browns-Steelers fight or anything like that. Like, is it possible that maybe Bill O'Brien just had too much time to himself and that's why we saw
overthought
the stud yesterday?
Is what you're saying.
I'm just asking.
All right, another element. We're talking about the elements of the game that we really haven't adjusted because we were doing big picture stuff. Discussed because we were doing big picture stuff. Bill O'Brien and game management. Or at least the management of the game play to play. How many times were they so late in the play clock that they were either in a fire drill?
Sean had to clap multiple times.
Yeah, that they were either.
Normally it's just one clap.
Yeah.
But if you're watching your quarterback, mm-hmm. if you hear this,
right,
that means that you are not set up quickly.
That they gotta
and
get
he's basically
quick.
Just saying,
they were,
snap it
they
quick.
Were late in the play clock. They burned a timeout because they were going to get a false start. The challenge, of course, it was pass interference. We all know that, but they lost a timeout there, but just kind of manage kind of a feel for the game. And maybe this is just overreaction on my part because of they got blown out, but you're looking at Jim Harbaugh on the sideline and then John Harbaugh on the sideline. And it's just like, you don't see that.
He's chilling.
It's control,
he's
right?
Chilling.
It's just like, and maybe it's body language, and you can take it for what you
he's
want.
He's chilling,
but,
though.
But he just looked like in control, right?
Yeah.
All right. Another element, and this is a big
you're
one.
You're depressing me more than I was already depressed.
Well, we have to talk about these parts of the game. Because
no, for
this,
sure.
This
it's
is
your job.
The, yeah, this is what the Texans, you know, are it's one of the reasons they were there yesterday, and one of the reasons they have to get better real quick because they got these two games coming up and Damn. Others. What do you think of the defensive line now?
What do you mean now? What do you mean now?
Okay, well, what do you think of the defensive line?
It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's there. I don't even blame the defense for yesterday. Am I being too easy on them? Honestly, I think
a
the
little
offense,
bit.
I think the offense left them on an island.
Well, I'm going to get there.
I think if the offense would have put some points up, maybe we're looking at a different thing. But I think the offense didn't even show up. So
Lamar Jackson
kind of left
reading,
them on an island.
He was reading War and Peace.
And honestly,
back
my
there.
Expectations with what the personnel mm-hmm. is, with no Clowney or no Watt, they aren't really that high on this defense.
Yeah. But, you know, after, you know, J.J. Watt first missed the game, people were like, hey, now, you know, I got a little something going with that defense. No, you don't. No, you don't. They not only that, but one of the hidden factors in this game is not only did you not get pressure on Lamar Jackson, who, like I said, was reading a book back there, you gave up 235 rushing yards. That's on the defensive line. They have been so good against the rush all year long. And I don't know if it's kind of a delayed effect of not having JJ or it was just because you're facing the Ravens and they're awesome, which, by the way, they are. I mean, we got to give them credit. But 235 rushing yards is way, way, way too much.
You got two tackles from Jacob Martin, though.
I said 235. I was wrong on that. I was looking at receiving yards, 263.
260. You had a 60-yard run late.
Yeah.
Jacob Martin got two tackles yesterday, though.
He did.
And Barkevious Mingo had one. So now the two guys that you traded Clowney for have a combined six tackles. They doubled their tackle total
there you
for
go.
The year. If
Progress.
You want to look glass half full.
Progress.
Doubled their production.
Gus
so
Edwards gained 112. Lamar, 86. Mark Ingram, 48. Justice Hill had 18 yards. 263 on the ground.
Not good. By the way, how Mark Andrews look yesterday?
And no pressure on the quarterback.
How Mark Andrews look yesterday?
Dude, their tight ends were ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the jersey number every time a tight end catches it. Just unbelievable. Just unbelievable scheme by the Ravens. And here we are looking ahead to the Colts. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Texans not only fell out of the conversation among the elite in the AFC, but they also fell out of first place in the division. More about your second place Houston Texans next. Texans fall 41-7 to the Baltimore Ravens. On to Indianapolis. 3 days from today, we will be previewing the
coach.
Texans versus the Colts. Just trying to give you some coaches speak. It's the NFL. Sometimes these things happen. COG John Lopez, Landry Larker, Figgy Fig with you on a reaction Monday. Let's go to the phone, 713-572-4610. Frazier, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Fellas, now I got to share my weekend with you, man. So I got the popcorn ready, man. I'm super excited. I got my jersey on. Man, I got my flag up and everything. I'm talking about, I'm so excited. I'm watching the game, and I'm throwing popcorn at the TV screen when the interception wasn't called in the end zone. I'm super mad. And then the game keeps going, and I find myself laughing by the time it's 27-0, right? And, man, guys, I need y'all to forgive me. I need my city to forgive me. I ended up changing the channel, man, and starting watching the Cowboys,
dude. Good for you. Good for you.
Forgive me.
No, that's –
But next time you guys see Tunsil, man, can y'all ask him, is he hitting that gas mask before the game or after the game? I'm just serious.
Look, he's reflecting what I've started the show with, and I think a lot of Houston Texans fans are feeling, and I think that's an editorial statement, if you're not really that surprised by what happened. Like, yeah, you were anticipating, you're excited, you got your Texans flag up, you're sitting here, in our case, in this studio, saying, man, this is huge, this is where the Texans can really get it on and make a statement, and then that starts to happen, and you're like, yeah, well, I'm not that surprised because this has happened in these situations in the past. It's sad. It's sad that we are there.
Chris, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? I got some good news for you. Okay. I got a special word for you, okay?
I need some.
All right, here's the word. It's called embarrassment. I think this might be good. The Texans were embarrassed. So, you know, maybe that'll kind of, like, shock the system, and then they'll be more focused, and they'll get another crack at Baltimore in the playoffs. Okay?
Maybe.
So let's hope they were just embarrassed and, you know, they go to practice tomorrow mad and pissed off.
I mean, maybe. They have to get there. And
didn't make me feel much better.
Yeah. It's supposed to make you feel better. No, that's an element. If they get there. You know, this game yesterday was about the team and reaching that next level, as we've been talking about, and then they proved that they couldn't. I think the next two games are about Bill O'Brien. I mean, The next one for sure,
because the thing that he's always been able to hold his hat on is division titles.
Mm-hmm.
And the AFC South has been very nice to him. He was coaching against three coaches that didn't belong in the NFL, three teams that maybe even had worse quarterback situations the first two. Last year, he got humbled by Frank Reich two out of three times, ended the season. The one thing he's always been able to hang his hat on is the division title. And he's never had more luck in the division than he's had this year. So I think the next one is the one that Bill O'Brien is most important to, but I'm not going to sit here and convince myself that they have a chance to beat the Patriots in primetime. Well, I think the Patriots aren't as good as the Ravens, and I think the Patriots have some flaws, but it would be foolish of me to, one day after what I saw yesterday, to come on here and even entertain the possibility of that.
Well, and we've been talking about how the Patriots don't seem to be as dominant as they've been in the past, and they have some flaws, as you just mentioned. But that defense has proved time and again, you know, even against the good teams, that it can certainly, I mean, it did it yesterday, you know, it can certainly just stuff a team.
You know, Tom Brady has the worst QB rating against pressure this year.
I believe it. I did not know that, but I believe it.
Can the Texans pressure him, though?
Well, we just talked about the defensive line.
Dang, B.O.B. Let's go to James. James, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Landry Locker, this is Young Ari Gold on Twitter. You sold me the Travis Scott World Series hat.
Oh, yeah.
The Astros hat.
What's up, man?
Thank you, sir, on air. My biggest thing is I don't understand why anybody is docked by this. I guess I went through and dug through Bill O'Brien's record against playoff teams over the last 6 years. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's very embarrassing. I think it's like 5-25 or something like that. It's awful. What has he done in 6 years to make us feel confident every Sunday, especially going up against good teams in the NFL? He's never done it, ever.
I have a stat. Against teams 500 or better before this year, he is 15-31.
Okay, so that's embarrassing. And then you add to the fact that, okay, take away the first 3 years when he had terrible quarterback play. Okay, you could make a case that, you know, those are the reasons why. But that's not the case anymore. And we have Deshaun Watson, and yet we're still unable to compete with the top-tier teams in the NFL. And it's just truly embarrassing. I don't understand why anybody is shocked by this.
Well, that was my point earlier. That's exactly you're speaking my language.
By the way, I sold him the hat for cost, so I wasn't making money off of it. They sent me the wrong size, so I sold my man Ari the hat for cost.
Yeah, for the record. But no, that's my whole point on this, man. I mean, it's.
But can we squash a myth real quick?
What's that?
Figgy, cut the music for just a second. I want to make this very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say this enough, okay? Yes, the Texans didn't have the ideal quarterback situation when Bill O'Brien won the division the first couple years. They did not, okay? But the Jacksonville Jaguars had Blake Bortles. The Titans had Zach Mettenberger and Marcus Mariota. And the Colts had Andrew Luck either on the sidelines or getting punished to the point where in 2016, he took such a beating that when he retired, he said that season was part of the reason he retired. So it's not like he had the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. I just got to make that clear because it drives me nuts when we say that.
Well, in Bill O'Brien's first.
And oh, by the way, it's the same thing right now when he clearly has the best.
In Bill O'Brien's first 3 years on the job, the Jacksonville Jaguars won 3, 5, and 3 games. It was a division.
Look
that
at
was,
the coaches: Gus Bradley, Chuck yeah. Pagano, and Mike Mularkey. What mm-hmm. are they doing now?
Right, and the Tennessee Titans won 2, 3, and 9 games his first 3 years.
I mean, seriously.
It was a division that was just awful.
Seriously. And it's the exact same thing. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? Landry Lopez, Figgy, enjoy the show.
Thank you very much.
Hey, 20 things about coaching that I'm going to touch on, but something I've been on for years, and I'm just going to shoot from the hip with examples, is how important would it be for us, as good as Hyde has been, for us to get a free agent pickup, a Bell, a Gordon, a real deal running back. In my opinion, that would greatly help the team. And I kind of think, you know, after Arian Foster, we haven't really had one. Between that and the Clowney trade, you know, it's kind of the things I look at.
Well, I think that's prioritizing the wrong thing at this point. I'm not saying you're wrong and it wouldn't be an upgrade, but for the assets you're going to have to spend, I just think you're prioritizing the wrong thing for a running back like that. Hyde's been fine.
He's been all right.
Yeah,
nice mop-up duty yesterday, by the way.
You didn't like that run? At least he was playing hard, being a good teammate.
Oh, my God. When he scored, he should have done like a broom dance because that was basically a janitor mop-up duty right there. The hell out of here. Racist Redneck, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Hey, listen, man. I told y'all before, you know, before my daddy passed, you know, he told me, he said, man, there's one thing that's going to happen with this Texas team.
Oh, no.
And this franchise is just going to suck the life out of this city and all the money that comes with it.
Mm.
It's embarrassing, man. Hey, I tell you something else. This team is becoming more polarizing than the freaking Cowboys. Some of these people, man, I talked to some of these coworkers of mine. They don't even want to watch this team anymore. They're giving up. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, you come up with 7 points? Jesus. Hey, look, you can't even bet on this team. You don't know who's gonna show up week to week. You know what I mean? And I tell you what, Bill O'Brien is the definition of faking it till you make it. And I got news for you. He ain't going to make it. We're just wasting our time with this dude. Hey, and look. And at the end of the day, Deshaun's going to leave. He ain't going to stand for this crap. He's going to leave. That's just what's going to happen. You know? I'm just going to hang up and listen. I appreciate it, fellas.
Man.
I don't think
he's going to get the bread.
I don't know how much of that I would co-sign, but
that
I think
sucks that
but
his old man's last words were the Texans suck.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That sucks, man. You're sitting there at the hospital bed with your dad.
Went
the
over
last
my
words,
head. It kind
of
went
not
over
son.
My head.
I love you. Take care of your sister. All that. Like.
Oh, and one more thing. The Texans are going to break your heart. yeah, exactly. Then you get the flat line. I don't know how much of that stuff I can co-sign, but I think it reflects just how much this team is frustrating its fan base with being, remember the Hard Knocks, Bill O'Brien's famous line? When was Hard Knocks with the Texans? 3 years ago?
A few years ago. Probably four.
3 or 4 years ago?
4 or 5.
What was his famous line in that?
The Almost Team.
He called them the Almost Team. All these years later, what are they? They're the Almost Team. They got a long way to go and a short time to get there, man.
Here's Bill O'Brien talking about why he's not surprised by the result. Yes, the Texans lost by 34 points, but Bill O'Brien says that he was not surprised by the result.
That's the NFL, Mark. You know what I mean? It's the NFL. You don't, if you don't play well, if you don't coach well and you make mistakes, you're going to get beat.
You're not surprised by that? Like, what are you saying? Like, you're not surprised you lost 34 points?
I mean, it's an embarrassing loss. By any definition, 41-7 in the NFL.
Baseball. Like, you know how anything that happens in baseball, a lot of times you go, well, that's just baseball. It doesn't matter what. It's just, that's just baseball.
Right.
Don't become that. That's the NFL guy.
When you are,
because 34 point losses don't happen a lot in the NFL.
Well, especially when you are a 6-3 team.
You look like an outman college team yesterday.
You're a 6-3 team. You're playing professional football. You're getting paid.
It's a 4-point spread
out there. It's a 4-point spread, and you lose 41-7.
It's not just
by
the NFL.
What definition is that just the NFL?
That's not the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like don't go meathead on me and just say stuff like that. Like that's ridiculous. I need to hear from Deshaun to make me feel better. Here's Deshaun Watson on taking it on the chin yesterday and moving on to Indy in a short week on Thursday.
If you played in the NFL, you know every week is different. Every game is different. You don't just dwell on, you know, your loss or even the wins. You got to continue to go out there and execute the next opportunity. So, you know, that's what we're going to do, and, you know, flush it and move forward.
Now, I can deal with that. Every week is different.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell me that a 34-point loss is just the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly.
It is silly.
That's silly.
It is silly. And Bill O'Brien goes back. Part of his image problem in this city is it's reruns after losses like this. You know, the press conferences could just be rerun from 2015 and 2016. And, fans need to get the satisfaction of what's happening and why it's inexcusable and why it won't happen again. And I think they're really getting just a that's the NFL. That's not good.
Deshaun Watson on getting the Colts on Thursday.
It's good. It's just, you know, another opportunity Thursday night back at home against a divisional team who I think won today. And, you know, it's another opportunity for us to go out there and show what we got and play Houston Texas football. We didn't do that today, so it's another opportunity. And regardless if it was Thursday, if we were playing Sunday, you flush it and move on to the next game.
Thursday is, you know, it's not as big as this last game, in my view. Some will argue otherwise because it's a division game and all that.
It's not even close.
It's not.
Not even close.
But it sure would be a quick feel good just to at least get that win going into New England. And so from a player perspective, you have to do that. You know, who's accountable and responsible for yesterday is the head coach. So that's why it's a little bit different.
All right, we're sitting here at week 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's week 11, about to be week 12. The week 12 for the Texans is going to start sooner than most. Tell me where the Texans would be at this point in the season if, and this is a big if 2 weeks before the season, Deshaun Watson announces his retirement. Carlos Hyde fractures his hand and is not going to play. And DeAndre Hopkins is out. Where would the Texans be heading into this game against the Colts?
They'd probably be over. Or maybe sneak out a win.
That's the exact thing that the Colts are facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Mack, who rushed for over 100 yards yesterday, is out with a fractured hand. It looks like T.Y. Hilton's not going to play. And Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback. But despite all that, the Texans are only a 3-point favorite against the
Indianapolis
Colts.
Oh, you're talking about this
week? On a short week. On this week,
they'd be 7.5-point underdogs?
That's why I think a loss Thursday is it. You can't forgive that.
Yeah.
And I think if, you know, we haven't opened this up because I don't think it's been necessary. But if the Texans do lose this game on Thursday, and they are really, truly, truly, truly trying to take that next step, questions really do need to be asked. And the question needs to be asked by us on Friday, whether or not Bill O'Brien should be the coach in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, some people have already made up their mind on that because they're biased against him.
I'm being as patient as I can.
I understand people being biased against him because it's 6 years in, you know? So we just said, you're hearing the same things. They haven't taken the next step. They're still not elite. They just proved it. I get people's bias against Bill O'Brien saying, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. That's a lot of times.
I'm not even saying that.
That's just frustration.
I just think it needs to be asked.
You're right.
I think it needs to be critically evaluated by the organization.
That's where I'm going with this. It's one thing to be frustrated after a horrible loss, after a horrible season, after a horrible couple of games or whatever it is, and say, man, they ought to fire that guy. That's one thing. But then you do have to realize, you know, at some point, and that's and we're taking a it's a big if, you know, if they lose Thursday, we expect them
no T.Y. Hilton, no Marlon Mack.
Yeah, we expect them to win.
Like, think about that.
But if they do, that's when you actually take serious evaluation inside that building. Like, guys, can we get there with him? You know, we've given him votes of confidence. We've given him another contract. We've given him time. You need to sit down in your office with the decision makers of the organization if they lose Thursday and say, can we get there? It's time to ask the question.
Are we really trying to go from good to great?
Right.
Is it just going to be the same thing? Because there's a lot of stuff that's changed in the Texans' favor.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck's no longer in this division. You have a quarterback that you feel good about. You've gotten as many breaks this offseason as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
You want me to list them again? Andrew Luck retires. Jalen Ramsey has to be traded. The Jags go 10 weeks without their starting quarterback. Marcus Mariota gets benched. And you're still in the exact same position that you were 6 years ago when you're hanging your hat on division titles.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me, how am I supposed to be confident that things are going to go good to great? Because there's a strong chance that next year, you're not going to get all the breaks you've gotten in this division.
Right.
Because we've seen Bill O'Brien get some unlucky breaks.
The Colts have 9 draft picks this year.
They have 9 draft picks. They're putting together a better team. The Jags, they just picked up another first rounder in the Ramsey trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to get these breaks. And in 2017, Bill O'Brien got some unlucky breaks. And we weren't critical of him. We gave him free passes for that. If you don't win this game Thursday against the Colts, and that would mean that Frank Reich's 4-1 against you in so many different situations to even list. Damn. I mean, just tell me. Why should I feel like if the goal is really to go good to great, why should Bill O'Brien be a part of things moving forward?
You got to ask that question.
It's got to be asked. Mm-hmm. 100% has to be asked. There is no excuse to lose this game on Thursday. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday, and we know that our reactions aren't the only ones that matter. So 713-572-4610. On the eve of the Texans' loss in Baltimore and 3 days away from the game against the Indianapolis Colts, what are the biggest reactions that Houston needs to hear? We'll hear them next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.